Hello, everybody. This week's parsha is Parsha's Korach. And the parsha begins with the words, Vayikach, Korach, and Korach took. But the parsha doesn't really go on to explain who exactly Korach took. Because then, after it lists Korach's lineage, it continues and says, V'dasan v'aviram b'nei Aliyev, and dasan v'aviram. Which clearly implies that the taking was not going on them. Because it sounds like they're also taking. So what exactly is this Vayikach, this taking of Korach, that the parsha is referring to? So many Midrashim, just want to talk about two of them. First, the Gemara says the name of Rish Lakish, that Rish Lakish says, Vayikach Korach, the Gemara is on Hedron, Kavtes, and Beis, Vayikach Korach, Amar Rish Lakish, Shelokach Mekach Ro'o La'atzmei. Korach took a bad Mekach, a bad deal, he made a bad transaction for himself. And the Gemara goes on to explain that what it means here is that Korach, he saw that ultimately from him is going to be the great Navi, Shmuel. And he made a bad decision and he thought that he is so great that Shmuel HaNavi, who the Gemara tells us was greater in some ways than Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, is going to come from him, then he, Korach, must also be surely very, very great. And he has the right to rebel against Moshe and Aaron. So that was the bad Mekach, the bad choice that Korach made. The question is, what exactly does it mean is a bad deal? Usually when you buy something, you get something in return. Here, what did Korach get in return? Seemingly, Korach got nothing. He ended up in the hole with everyone else. What's the language of a mekach, of an acquisition? He didn't buy anything. So the Bar Yosef explains as follows. He says that we find that Korach did obviously have very, very great tzchus. He obviously had very, very great merits, because he did merit to have such amazing grandchildren, great-grandchildren, as the Gemara describes over there. How did he merit that? And he explains that if somebody brings about a Kiddush Hashem, if somebody ultimately is the one who through him a great Kiddush Hashem happens, that's a merit to him. Now, a person could do that in one of two ways. A person could do it through a positive. He can go and do the right things that people learn from him, and that brings about a Kiddush Hashem. Or a person could do it through the negative. A person could go and do great averus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes him in a very public and very open way. And then people learn from him that you don't mess with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Korach had a choice. He could have taken the good route or the bad route. Says Rish Lakish, Vayikach Korach, and Korach took, he took the bad route, he took the bad Mekach. He brought about Kavod Shem Shemayim, he did. But he did it in the wrong way. He thought that the reason why he's going to have Shmuel come from him is because of doing it in the bad way. And that was a mistake. Korach could have done it in the right way. Korach, such an influential person, such a powerful person, if he had chosen to bring about the truth of Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah through positively standing beside Moshe and using all his powers for good, he would have had the good Mekach. He would have made the right choice and would have brought about Kavod Shemayim in a positive way. That is what the Medrash is teaching us. Every single one of us has a mission in life. We could do it the right way, or we could do it the wrong way. God's plan is going to happen anyways. It's our choice, do we want to take the good route or the bad route? That's one pshat in Vayikach Korach. The other pshat, the Medrash says, is as follows. Vayikach Korach, says the Medrash, it doesn't mean that Korach took, because it doesn't say who he took. Rather, says the Medrash, it means he was taken. Vayikach Korach, Korach was taken by who? Who took Korach? Liboy, his heart. Korach's emotions, Korach's ego, it took a hold of him and it dragged him down. And the Medrash tells us that if you look in the Tanakh, the Torah talks about many times that different people in Tanakh have a conversation with themselves. They talk to their heart. But there's a fundamental difference. When it talks about a Rasha talking in his heart, it says, Vayomer Esav Belibay, Vayomer Haman Belibay. Their heart is the one that's full of ideas and opinions and their emotions and their moods, it take a hold of them. And then it tells the person, Esav or Haman, what to do. But yeah, when we look at Tzadikim, when it talks about Chana, it says, Vahine Chana medaberes al liba. She's the one talking to her heart. She, Chana, the person, the seichel, the mind, is talking to her heart, to her moods, and they're the one in control. And that's why she ends up doing the right things. And that's a very important lesson, that you never want to get taken by your emotions or by your moods. You want to be the one controlling your moods and your emotions, and that way you can avoid being taken as Korach was by his ego. Rashi tells us the thing, the root of what started this whole thing was Korach was offended. Korach was upset that he didn't get the job to be the Nasi, the leader of Shevet Levi. It was given to instead to Eltzafan ben Uziel. Korach felt it was his right to have it. And that's what ultimately led to Korach's rebellion. Obviously, as things picked up, Korach found other reasons. He brought the talis full of tchelis and the room full of svarim, etc. But like every good fight, it always starts with something. And the core of the fight was this offense that Korach was not given the nesius. Rabbi Jacobs, that's one of the mashgichim in Lake Yeshiva, he used to point out an interesting thing. He says, if you look back, the story of when Eltzafan ben Uziel gets appointed as a Nasi, it's not now, it's quite a few months before this whole story happens. But you see that when a person gets offended by something, when a person gets upset about something, when something rubs his ego the wrong way, if a person just shoves it under the rug and he bites his tongue, but he doesn't bother working on the root of the problem, working on himself, fixing his midas, and he just lets it sit there and simmer and stew, it's going to end up taking control of him. A person has to take the time when something happens to him to work on it then, to figure it out, to work on his midas, whether it's taking learning some musar, whether it's speaking it out. But a person can never let his grudges and his offenses simmer beneath the surface, because unfortunately, it usually only ends up getting much worse. When a Torah lists Korach's lineage, it lists him all the way back to Levi. But it stops there. It doesn't list him as a great-grandson of Yaakov. And Rashi brings the Gemara. The Gemara says, Yaakov specifically davened that his name should not be mentioned in regards to lineage of Korach. And I saw a Kliyakar, very interesting Kliyakar. He explains the reason why Yaakov asked for this is because Yaakov felt people might make a mistake. They might think that this midah, this bad character trait of Korach, trying to usurp Moshe Rabbeinu, Korach just really following in the midas of Yaakov. Yaakov also went and grabbed the Bechira from his older brother Esav. And Korach just following in his grandfather's footsteps. It's all the same thing. Says Yaakov, Hashem, please leave my name out so no one makes that mistake. They're two completely different things. I remember I had a Rebbe in Philadelphia Yeshiva, Chaim Isaac Gorelick. He used to give a mashal. He said, a person gets a cup of decaf coffee. He looks at it, it looks like coffee. It smells like coffee. It tastes like coffee. But it has no caffeine. It's fundamentally different. A lot of times in life, we see two things and we think they're the same. You see Korach, you could see Yaakov and say, yeah, it's the same idea. You're power hungry. But it's not. They're fundamentally different. What Yaakov did was a mitzvah. He was told by a Navi, his mother Rivka told him, that Esav is rotten and you have to take the Bechira away from him. And what Korach did was gaiva, it was ego, and it was a big mistake. It may look the same, it may smell the same, it may even taste the same, but they're fundamentally different. The Torah, everything boils down to nuance, to details, and to the ability to understand that the difference between right and wrong a lot of times isn't blatantly obvious on the surface. A person has to stop, think, and understand. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has very, very deep commandments for us, and we have to take the time to understand what's truly right. Moshe Rabbeinu responds to Korach and his group in Perek Tazayin, Pasuk Tes, and he says, Hama'at mikem, is it little for you? And simply put, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, you know, you have such a good job as Levim, you're so close to Hashem, is that too little for you? Do you always constantly want more? But the question the Kliyakar in the Panim office asks is, that why does it say Hama'at mikem? Mem is always means from. It just say Hama'at lachem. Is it too little for you? To you? What's the mem from you? So the Kliyakar explains as follows. He says, you know, we find, when we count the tribes, Shevet Levi is always the smallest. The reason is because the Aron and the Mishkan, these are very, very holy things. And says the Medrash that the Aron would, if people would act improperly, they don't want to give the Aron the complete respect that it needs, they would die. Chas v'shalom. And Shevet Levi was the smallest population because sometimes they're working in a very, very dangerous zone. And sometimes they would die if they would not show the proper respect to the Aron. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, Hama'at mikem, you are the smallest of all. You're the smallest nation of all the people as it is. Now you will be kashtem gam kahuna. You want to become kahanim delim as well. Do you realize how dangerous it's going to be? As it is, Hama'at mikem, you're the smallest of all of them. You want to be kahanim? Oh, so how could Aaron do it? The Aaron mahu kisalinu alav. Says Moshe, Aaron Mahu, who is he? What is he? Aaron has no personal zich. He has nothing about him. He's complete unav. He's completely modest, and therefore there's no Aaron in the picture. It's everything's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Such a person, he's protected from ever getting harmed by the Kedusha because Kedusha goes right through him. He has no ego. He has no personal sense of I'm a somebody. He's just a servant of Hashem. So he can never be, so to speak, harmed by the Kedusha. If you want to be like Aaron, that's one thing, but you're not Aaron Mahu. Aaron is someone on such a level of anivus, so of course he's safe. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Shevet Levi. If you want to truly have access to Kedusha, you truly want to be somebody who can go and carry the Aaron and do the service of Nayel Lefnim, you got to first get to Aaron's level of anivus. And that's where you can be safe when dealing with the Kodesh HaKadosh. So a very interesting Meshech Chachma. Pasuk says in Perek Tzayin, Pasuk Tagvav, Moshe Rabbeinu davens to Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu says Hashem, you know, these people, they're rebelling against me, they're accusing me of all these kind of horrible things. I never did anything wrong to them. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, Loi chamar echod mehem nasasi. I never took anybody's donkey. V'loi haroisi es achad mehem. And I never did anything bad to one of them. The Meshech Chachma just asks, why is it that it says in the second time around, it says, instead of saying echod, with a segel and a kamat, it says achad, one with two patachs. It has a beautiful pshat. He says, a lot of times people have anivus. They're humble, and they have no problem going and belittling themselves to talk to somebody or to a kid, and to really humble themselves down. But there's an issue that when they come to appear, somebody who's on their level, they have a much harder time being humble. And the reason is because if a third person is watching them in their interaction, if I see a great Rav going down and bending over to a little kid and schmoozing at him, I see he's being modest. I understand that he's a big Rav, and therefore he's, you know, being modest by talking to this little kid and schmoozing at him and giving him attention. But if I see that big Rav stand up for another Rav, then I'm not sure if he's being modest. Maybe the other Rav is truly bigger than him. You know, then the modesty becomes a lot more serious. Then there's room that someone actually might believe the modesty and think that actually the other person is bigger than you. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, Leharoisi es achad mehem, achad ha'am, says the Torah earlier by Pelishtim and Yitzchak. Achad means the most unique, the most special. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, I never did bad to even the best of them, even the holiest of them. Eldad and Medad started saying Nevu in the Machaneh. Yeshua wanted to curse them. I said no. Let everyone be Nevi'im. The Shivim Skenim, says Moshe, I daven they should all have Nevu'ah. I'm never out there, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Even to the best of them, I'm nice. I never get protective of my territory. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know I do nothing because of myself. Nothing's because of ego. It's complete anivus. And therefore, Hashem, please protect me from them. And that should be my schus. So I want to end off with one last point. The Pasuk tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu davened that Hashem should punish Korach and his people. It says that there should be imbria yivra Hashem. It shouldn't be a regular punishment. It should be something so out of the norm. Because Baruch Hu should make an entire creation of his ground opening up and swallowing them. That should be very, very obvious. It should be a miracle. The question is why? So different mafarshim say different reasons. The Meshech Chachma says, he says that there's a fundamental difference between the 250 Rashi Sanhedrin who brought the Keteris, who tried to fight Moshe Rabbeinu and Korach and Dathan and Aviram and everybody else. Those 250 people really believed that they had, so to speak, the right or the chance to be the Kohen Gadol. The Meshech Chachma learns a lot of them were Nesiim. They were great tzaddikim, and they really, really wanted to become closer to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And they really thought that, like Korach was telling them, the Moshe Rabbeinu made it up, but really they could all have a right to be Kaddish. And therefore we find that their shovels that they used to bring the Keteris were used to cover their Mizbeach because they actually had Kedusha in them. There was holiness in them. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, those people, they're going to get burnt like whatever happens to anybody who brings Keteris they're not supposed to, but it's going to be a very different type of death. It's a holy death, and there were some people, there were people who actually had a lot of Kedusha in them. Korach and his crew, says Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't bring Keteris. They were out and out against Moshe Rabbeinu because of their own taivas and their own ego. Therefore, says Moshe Rabbeinu, I want to encourage Baruch Hu to show everybody that these people were completely rotten. Korach and everybody else, there was no L'shem Shemayim here whatsoever. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to go out of his way to make an entirely new creation, an entirely new form of punishment to bring out that these people were completely rotten, and therefore they had to be punished so severely. If a person like the 250 Zkenim, they, Akash Baruch would never go so far to punish them because they weren't that bad. They meant good. They made a mistake. They made a big mistake. But ultimately, there was a goodness there. Korach and his crew had to be completely destroyed in a very, very obvious way to show that it was purely ego, purely machlekes, and there's nothing good in it. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos.